Hey everyone, if you are interested in getting into the forensic science field, stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. We are doing a career chats episode, and I'm very excited to speak with Alexis today. We have Alexis Garloff. She is a forensic scientist, and I feel like I always use the example of students will watch CSI, and they're not really sure what they do, so we have the perfect person to interview today to unpack what that is. But before we begin, let me just hop into a little bit of background information. Alexis Garloff is a recent graduate from Towson University in Baltimore, Maryland. She obtained a Bachelor of Science in Forensic Chemistry with a concentration in DNA analysis and a Master of Science in Forensic Science with a focus in forensic DNA. Alexis, thank you for coming on today. Thank you for allowing us to interview you, even though it's just me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
The first question I want to ask you is, so what is your current title of the career that you're in today?
So I recently started as a forensic scientist one in the forensic biology unit. So technically, I guess right now I'm currently a DNA technician, but overall title is a forensic scientist one.
Okay. And what made you interested in this field?
So it all started junior year of high school. I was in what's called International Baccalaureate, which is kind of a different accelerated program in high school that they offer. And so I started IB biology, and we had a unit that dealt with gel electrophoresis. So some of the listeners out there might be familiar with it. They might have had a lab similar.
Yep.
So essentially gel electrophoresis is separating DNA by size and charge. And so when we got to that unit, it briefly mentioned like, hey, this is, you know, a technique that is typically used in forensic science. And so it expanded a little bit on that. I did some research. And I think the main thing that drew me into the field was I had a strong passion for biology already. Mm-hmm. And when I learned how biology can be applied in this sense of like helping people, helping the community, helping your, you know, the public, that really drew me in to be able to combine those two passions with biology and helping the community. I was like, this is it. So kind of started back in high school.
It's funny when you mentioned the jellies, because honestly, you made me flash back to college when we had to do that for a bio course. I don't even know how I made it through that course. I had like one friend with me and I was so thankful for her because it was just like my mind was just going everywhere. It was very fascinating, but I think I just had a hard time grasping all that information. But so let's actually dive into college. So when you went to college, you knew automatically that when you went to school, that was what you, that's how you picked your school. Is that how you went about that process of selecting a college?
Yeah. So I did a lot of research, just Googled anything and everything, any question that I had. So as soon as I learned about forensic science and what the field actually was, I started Googling. I started Googling programs, you know, the best colleges for it. I started looking at the different classes associated with the forensic science programs. And I even went as far as like emailing or calling my local forensics laboratory. And so that would get me like, not necessarily hands-on experience, but I could see firsthand what they do on a day-to-day basis. So I had visited a small office in Georgetown, Delaware, which is where I'm from. And I just like asked them, like, I didn't hesitate. I was like, I want to know about this field. Can you tell me anything about what you do? Visited, got a taste of what it would be like. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start actually looking at colleges now. So I found Towson, and it's not far from home. They offer a undergrad degree, so a bachelor's degree and a graduate degree. Their program is considered forensic chemistry, but they have different tracks. So you can do forensic chemistry with a concentration in DNA analysis, which is what I did. So you get some of the chemistry, but you also get biology and DNA analysis. And then they also have kind of like a chemistry or trace track, which is more so like that drug analysis and the chemistry side of forensics. And then we have a general track as well, which is kind of like a broad overview, chemistry, biology, crime scene, So I just did some research on programs, found Towson, loved the campus, loved the area, and it was close to where I'm at on the Eastern Shore. And so I went in and declared the major of forensic chemistry.
And I love that you just said, you're like, I want to get to know more information. That's something that me and Kiki always, we try to encourage on this podcast, is people researching and especially trying to see if they can get in or do like an internship so they can see what they're actually doing and see if that's something of interest. Because usually, like I always use the CSI, like people will look on TV and like, oh my goodness, someone's a detective. I want to do that. But then like maybe they'll go on an internship and they're like, oh, this is a little intense for me. So it's not really a good match. And I just... internships are just great. Or even I was just talking with my friend yesterday. She started doing her internship for nutrition and she thought she was going to love one aspect and she ended up hating it. And now she wants to pivot somewhere else. So it's always good to see what's a good fit. And if you do an internship and you don't like it, that's still great news because you know where to look somewhere else. So
exactly.
That's something that I'm happy that you shared, that you like got involved into that research bit of it. So for the classes that you took, can you kind of... I know it sounds like it's going to be a lot of like biology and chemistry. Can you break down some of the specifics of those classes just so students that are listening know, like, is it going to be like very science heavy, which it is, or like, is there some more mathematical pieces to it so they can understand what goes into that?
Yeah, sure. So your first 2 years, it is going to be, I mean, the whole program is very science heavy, but your first 2 years are really going to be your general chemistries, your general biologies, intro to like criminal justice. So that way you can get a little bit of an overview of the criminal justice process. I will go off on a little tangent here because when I first got to college, I had no chemistry background. I always tell people this story. I had no chemistry background. I never took a chemistry class. So when I came into this degree and I saw all the chemistry requirements, right? I think that was my dog. I always tell people this story. When I first got to college, I really didn't have any chemistry background at all. And so looking at the list of chemistry requirements, I was a little overwhelmed. And I struggled a lot, but I knew that eventually, after a couple semesters, I would get my chemistry requirements out of the way, and then I would get into the fun stuff. So I always encourage people, my phrase is like, nothing is impossible with a little hard work and dedication. That was always my motto. So I will say it is very science heavy. Our program specifically is a little chemistry heavy, but please don't let that scare you. It is doable. I was just a very hard worker, and I think that's what got me through. You don't have to be little Sheldon or you don't have to be Albert Einstein to get through this program. You just have to work a little harder. And so then once you get through those general requirements of any science major, really, then you get into the fun stuff. So the more applied stuff, like your crime scene analysis classes and your forensic DNA classes. So there is light at the end of the tunnel, and you do get to the fun courses. Just have to get through the science requirements first.
Yeah. And I feel like that is the general pathway for it. If you go to a four-year college, you have to get some legit eds done first. And you're like, why do I have to get these done? It's like you have to push through it. And then you do get to the more fun things of the major that you signed up for. So you're right. It is like a light at the end of the tunnel. And two, even when you're doing like a gen ed, I remember even though I was doing like psychology, I still had to do part of the gen ed, you had to do like a natural science anyway. So you still would have to take the bio or the chem, whichever you chose. So it is good to see if it's still a good fit or not for you to still further push into the degree that you're interested in. So there is some value there.
Yeah. And I will say once you get into it, you're like, I know I had the thought. I was like, I can't do this. Like, I don't know chemistry. I don't know how to do this. And I struggled and I ended up getting a C in Gen Chem 1. And I contemplated changing my major. And I think that's where a lot of people get uncomfortable. And they're like, I don't think I'm fit for this. I want to switch. And then you end up having to go an extra semester maybe. But my mindset was always like, okay, it's one semester. Study as much as I can. Work hard. And get it over with. Just pass the class, and then you get into your fun courses. So it's doable. I think a lot of people get into those gen eds, and they're like, this isn't what I want to do, because you're not taking the fun courses right away.
Yeah, that's true. And also, what was I going to say off of that piece, too? And at least, because some people are like, oh, I don't think I'm cut for it. But it's like, no, if you, that's like you said, if you have the passion for it, then you can definitely push yourself through it because at least you have the passion for it, you know?
Exactly.
So that's totally different versus you're maybe, it's the difference between like, oh, like, do I not like it? It's like, if you like it, even though you have a road bump, just still push through it. At least you enjoy it. Cause a lot of people might be in a job where they just don't generally like it at all. And if you don't generally like it at all, then where's that motivation? At least you have the passion as the motivation. Right. Yeah. So, and science is science. So everybody, not everybody's great at science. So just keep pushing for any of those listeners that are out there. Keep pushing.
It'll make you a much well-rounded person. Like, even though I'm more biology and DNA based, having that strong chemistry background just makes you a much stronger scientist. Like, it makes you a well-rounded scientist, being able to know the different concepts, because essentially tie into each other eventually. You know, the chemistry ties into the biology in some way at some point. So they're all important in their own little way. They're just not as enjoyable, but you get through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can you tell us about your current position now and how you got into it? And so I guess kind of a two-part question, how you got into it, and was there any kind of like a portfolio that you had to complete before this? So how do you actually get into that field? I'm not sure if it's similar to, like, you know, in med school, you have to do like residency, but I know it's such a big science piece and component to this. So can you explain a little bit of that?
Yeah. So I completed my Bachelor of Science in forensic chemistry. So I had those course requirements. And then I decided to pursue a master's in forensic science. What's great about Towson, really quick, I'll mention this. Towson offers an accelerated program. So if you go in for a bachelor's degree and you do your 4 years, what you can do is concurrently take graduate classes. So like, say you're in your junior, senior year, you can take a course that's graduate level, but it'll count towards both your undergraduate and graduate credits. And so that way, like what happened for me was I took 9 credits worth of graduate courses. And so I was a semester ahead on my master's degree during undergrad, which sounds like a lot of work, but I mean, it's kind of the same content, just a little more accelerated. So I was able to finish my master's within a year. And so once I got through that, I did my coursework, and the biggest thing that I got into was research. So that's really where you're going to get your hands-on experience and kind of more like the applied lab experience. So it's not just your molecular biology lab where you're doing things according to, you know, that rubric. You're doing more expanded individual projects. So getting that taste of independency and lab experience is really important. So coursework, lab experience, research experience, and networking. Can't emphasize that enough. Networking, LinkedIn is great. I'm fortunate enough at Towson, we have so many professors that are in the field. So they will teach a couple classes, but they're teaching after they get done their full-time job as a forensic scientist. So we have great connections to those professors that work around us. And so between my research experience, networking, my internship, my coursework, just kind of compiled that onto a curriculum vitae. And I started applying to different forensic science positions. And I knew that I wanted to be a DNA analyst. So the first step in becoming a DNA analyst is getting a forensic scientist 1 position. And then you kind of just work your way through, do a bunch of training. And that's where I'm at right now. I am currently training to be a DNA analyst. And yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking, like, I know you wanted to be a DNA analyst. What other positions are there? Like, I guess, because I think you work at a department as of right now, right? So you work with a police department.
Yes.
Okay. So what other things are there for, I know it's like DNA analysis, but is there also like, I don't even know the term for it, but if you're like trying to look at face sketches or like, what are the different positions within that kind of forensic field that are still kind of dedicated to science?
Yeah. So the forensics field is, composed of so many different disciplines. The most common disciplines, the ones that have more coursework tailored towards them. So we have crime scene, which is, in a nutshell, those individuals that respond to the crime scene, they document the crime scene, they take pictures, they do sketches, they collect all the evidence, they document all the evidence. So you're one of the first responders to the scene. Your main responsibility is documenting that crime scene and collecting those evidence. Once you have your crime scene unit collect the evidence, that evidence has to go get analyzed. And so depending on what the evidence is, it's going to go into its respective unit. So if you collect some sort of DNA evidence, it's going to go to the DNA unit. If you collect fingerprints, if you dust and collect some sort of fingerprint, that's going to go to the latent print unit. And they're going to do a comparative analysis of any standards that you have, and they're going to look at that evidence of the fingerprint. Very detailed work. Not sure that was the unit for me, but it's kind of like if you remember those games, it's like you had to I spy, like pick the difference in the two pictures. Mm-hmm. It's kind of similar to that. Mm. Very tedious work. So you have latent prints, and then, which is just like a fingerprint unit, and then you have chemistry. So you have like a drug analysis unit. If there's any sort of substance that's collected on the crime scene, it'll get sent to drug analysis and they will analyze it. There's the firearms unit. So if you're interested in kind of comparing like tool marks or like projectiles, mm-hmm. comparing those side by side and making matches on those, looking at any firearm. What else do we have? So there's latent firearms, crime scene, biology, chemistry. There are other little, you know, disciplines as well, like, trying to think. There is forensic anthropology, which is more so like, not necessarily with a crime lab, but if you have, say, some sort of remains that turn up somewhere in a state park, they're recovered, forensic anthropologists will be able to visually inspect those remains and give some sort of information about, you know, age, an age estimate, sex, race, maybe potential estimated length of death. So there's so many different disciplines. Again, I emphasize doing research, but the main ones are your biology, your chemistry, fingerprints, firearms, and the crime scene unit.
Okay. Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to go with that. And I think this is just also a great information for people that love science in general, and they're yeah. trying to figure out maybe what are the different potential fields that can go into. Because I feel generally like when you hear of science, you automatically associate it with the healthcare.
Yeah, definitely.
So with that, like you just rattled, like telling all this information, I'm like, oh man, like I don't know why I never really thought of it, but yeah, if you're interested in science, you can also pivot this way, which is really great.
Yeah, I really like the applied aspect of it. You know, being able to do biology and work with DNA, but also knowing that it's for a good purpose is, I think, what's really special about forensics.
Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned that you're still kind of relatively new to the position that you're in, but can you kind of describe as best as you can what a day-to-day would look like?
Yeah, so I'm currently training to be a DNA technician. So what that means is, I had mentioned with crime scene, they will bring in the evidence. And so any sort of potential biological substance that is within the evidence, it'll get brought into our unit. And there's serology that gets performed, so seeing if there's any body fluids on the item. And then it'll go to DNA. And I'm giving a very brief overview, but essentially the evidence will get to DNA. And my job is to generate a DNA profile from that piece of evidence. In a nutshell, if you get something that has suspected DNA in it, you will extract the DNA, so pull the DNA out of the cell. You will quantify the DNA, so see how much DNA you have. And then we do what's called amplification. So if anyone out there is familiar with polymerase chain reaction or PCR, we're performing PCR, making copies of the DNA. That's all it means. It's just making multiple copies. And we're specifically making copies of these specific regions within the DNA that are unique to all of us. And so we make copies of those regions and we separate them through capillary electrophoresis. Sounds fancy, but it's basically just gel electrophoresis, but in an automated form, like on an instrument. So you're still getting the separation of those fragments, but instead it's on an instrument. It's a little more electronic. And so you'll get a data file from that. Essentially, what you end up with is a DNA profile composed of all these little fragments that are unique to the individual when analyzed all together. So day to day, my position is receiving, you know, the evidence from serology and generating that DNA profile that will then go to a different person, an analyst, and they will interpret that profile, determine if any of the suspects are involved in the profile based off of their standard DNA that they provide. Mm-hmm. A little more complicated than that, but they will interpret it, analyze it, and make their report.
Wow. And I know this isn't all in one day either. So.
Oh God, no. This is like, you can do like extraction in one day. So basically you'll do extraction one day and then you'll quantify and then you'll amplify and then you'll get the profile all within about a week, week and a half. Okay. Yeah, so.
And I think what's so fascinating about DNA too, and then you probably know about this more than I do, but I feel like wasn't just like DNA collection, wasn't it still like maybe like 2 decades ago that we kind of had this kind of, like science and information to utilize this, or am I wrong? Or because I feel like wasn't like DNA testing back in the day wasn't really as available to police departments. Do you know?
Yeah, for sure. So I can't remember the exact year, but you know, back in the day they used to do blood testing, and then they actually used to use gels, like how we would use in lab and look at those fragments and do comparison by those little fragments, like the bands. And so it's just kind of evolved into what we have today by still using those same concepts, but integrating them and making them a little more technology involved. You know, we have all these amazing instruments now that can automate these things. And it just makes it so much, much easier for the technicians and the analysts to get through that casework quicker. And it's not only good for the analysts or the forensic scientists, but it's also good for bringing justice in a timely manner. So the way that it's evolved, yeah, we definitely have more than we used to, but that's with the help of evolving, you know, the field of technology, the field of research, the field of DNA, and the field of biology. So yeah, definitely become a little more complex.
Yeah. And do you have to do like any certifications or renew any kind of like educational, I don't know, certifications or anything every couple of years? Or is it you're kind of, with the research, you're kind of learning as you go? Because like you said, there could be new instruments that are implemented as technology right. keeps on growing.
Yeah, so for my position, a bachelor's is required. And then after you get your bachelor's, once you get in with a department, if you choose to get in with like a crime laboratory, which is associated with a police department, you have a lot of training, obviously, and then you will have what's called a competency exam.
Okay.
Sorry, something said it was about to time out. Okay. So you'll have what is called a competency exam, and this just ensures that you have the knowledge, you have the skill, you've done the hands-on work, and you're competent enough, you know what you're doing, to be able to get signed off to work on actual casework. So then every year, I believe it's at least once, but potentially twice, I think, proficiency exams. So those are just little checkups to make sure that you still are proficient in what you're doing. And on top of that, I know our department requires education and training. So that's, you know, attending different conferences or attending some sort of educational event that helps broaden your knowledge or helps, you know, you discover what's coming into the field. Because like I said, it is a constantly evolving field and there is potential to integrate new instruments or integrate new methods. So yeah, you have your competency exams, your proficiency exams. You will continue to expand your knowledge on the field since it is constantly evolving. And that's pretty much it.
And I know you're still relatively new in this position, but what do you anticipate are some of like the highlights of it, and maybe what are some potential obstacles? Like, I remember when I had a psychology degree, and then I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do forensic psychology." And then I took like one class, and I was like, "Oh no!" It's like I'm mentally not there for that. But it sounds like in this piece, you might not be like you do are exposed to some different crimes that can be a little heavy. But at least you're kind of dealing with one section of it that's mostly the DNA. So, like, I guess, what would be some of the highlights and some of the obstacles or And then I guess a second question after that is maybe what are some characteristics people for this position should have?
Yeah. So I would say the highlights, obviously I've had a strong passion for biology, like I mentioned, and just getting to apply that to help my community is, I think, the biggest takeaway. So I really enjoy that aspect. Your work always has purpose. And so that's the biggest highlight. You really do work as a team. So even though we all kind of do our own thing with the sample, you know, collectively, it's constant communication and it's a lot of teamwork. So I consider that a benefit. I really love my coworkers, and I've always wanted to be with the department that I'm at right now since, you know, undergrad. So I'm very thankful that I got this position straight out of college. I would say kind of the downfall is, like, unfortunately, there is a lot of crime, and you're seeing firsthand, you know, how much evidence is coming in, and you're seeing firsthand, you know, how many different crimes are occurring, especially in Baltimore. So that's the downfall, but, you know, you just have to stay on track and realize I have a purpose, you know, I need to serve justice, or I need to play my part in serving justice, and just continue thinking about the ultimate purpose of your job. There's so many other benefits. I mean, just if you love science, if you love biology, I think this is a great field to get into because of that application. I would say for those that are interested in getting into the field, definitely have a good work ethic. Like I said, those courses can get a little tough, but I always form study groups. And so again, nothing is impossible with a little hard work and dedication. So just keep that in mind. Have a good passion, know that you're passionate about the field, because at the end of the day, that's what it's going to take, you know, to get you through work every day, is having that passion and drive. I think that's pretty much it. Like I said, just hard work, dedication, being passionate, knowing how to work with a team, and having good networking skills also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know we were talking about this off mic, but how, like, we use this platform for a lot of high schoolers, but we have found so many other people that are in their 20s and 30s that are listening to this podcast. And I think a lot of people are also just interested in listening about different career fields to see what they offer, and also just understanding and seeing if it's pivotable. That's what we're looking for. But I know it sounds like, I know, like you said, there's a lot of competencies, but so maybe for someone who does have a background in, like, science or chemistry, maybe it could be a potential option for, maybe they have to return to school and maybe do competencies. Like, you think that could be a possible switch for somebody?
Yeah, for sure. So say you come out of college with a biology degree and you apply it, say you went into an industry position, but it doesn't have enough purpose for you and you're interested in forensics. The only thing is, the FBI does require a certain amount of courses. So I know it's specifically for DNA. If you're getting into forensic DNA, forensic biology, they require, like, biochemistry, genetics, a biostatistics class. So you just have to check and make sure that your degree requirements or your, like, transcript has those courses on it. And if not, there is potential that you could, you know, sign up for those. It's not that many courses. You can easily Google it, like FBI DNA required courses. And so if you have those, and you have a bachelor's, then I believe, from my experience, you're qualified for a forensic scientist one position, the entry-level forensic scientist position. And you obviously go through every piece of training. So it's not like every lab is expecting you to come in with forensics experience. No matter what your level of background is, you're going to get that training, because every lab does things a little differently. And obviously they want to make sure that proficient in what you're about to do with casework. Yeah. So definitely don't be scared by, you know, maybe jumping into it. Even if you think that you don't have a forensics background, if you have a strong biology background and those required courses, I believe you would be qualified for the position. So
okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty helpful.
Yeah.
And I only have one fun question. So is this like TV? Do you watch any like CSI or True Detective or anything like that?
I should have known this question was coming. That is everyone's go-to question. They're like, I think they say, are you like Abby from CSI? And I'm like, I've never seen CSI, so I don't know Abby, and I don't know what she does. But I really haven't watched a lot of crime shows, but I will say it's emphasized a lot throughout, like, my education. It's emphasized that it's not really like the TV shows, so that's what we call the CSI effect, where people are under that impression that it is just like the shows, and you're always going to get DNA results. You're always going to find fingerprints. That's definitely not the case. And you always see, like, they get results and data within the snap of a finger. And it's like, as I mentioned, it can take over a week to get results if there's anything there. And so, no, it's not like TV. But that doesn't mean that it's not fun or exciting. There are some aspects that I'm sure translate. Again, I just am not familiar with those shows. But, yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny. I've seen like a couple episodes here and there, but I'll actually listen to more like true crime or documentaries. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I feel like I hear when you're listening to those is it's like everybody's doing their most that they can to solve a particular crime. And sometimes they get it quick or a quick turnaround. And sometimes it takes like decades. And I'm like, that's one piece of me. Like I like solving puzzles. So I know that would just eat at me to be like, we need to know like what happened. So, but that's also part of the job.
Well, it's like every single thing that goes into solving the crime, it's like one huge puzzle, but then it's like a puzzle within a puzzle, right? Because if you have DNA evidence, that's a puzzle in itself. And so it just contributes. It is one big puzzle. And there's so much outside of just like what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. Like there's so much to get involved with within forensics, and that's personally another reason why I like it, is because I'm the type of person that doesn't like routine, and I can't sit down. I always need something to do, and so it's great that it is a constantly evolving field, because you know you can do research on new instruments coming online, or new instruments or new kits, or all those different things. So there's so much learning to do, and I think that's what also keeps it fun.
Well, this was really helpful, and this was really insightful. I feel like the more and more we have these career chats, and I'm learning more about the behind the scenes and all the intricacies of careers, I'm like, man, I really didn't know like the depth of everything. And this has really been fascinating, and I'll probably like think back to this episode whenever I'm watching like a docu-series, like, yeah, the DNA, the jellies, yeah, and, like I know that, but I don't.
Like I can do that.
I'm like, oh, like maybe this is doable. Like then I'll go back to this interview. Maybe not. But thank you so much for allowing us to interview you. Do you have like any like a LinkedIn you'd like to share if you want to, or like an Instagram or anything, or any platforms you'd like to share if there's a high schooler that wants to connect and get more resources?
Yeah, of course. So you can share my email. If you wanna send me an email, it's agarloff22@gmail.com. I am on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn because I'm a strong believer in networking through LinkedIn. I think it's the easiest way to gain those connections and gain experience. And on there, it's just my name. So Alexis Garloff. You'll get to see some of the fun things that I've done. Some of the extracurriculars. So like I was able to start a community outreach project.
Oh, nice.
Which is, again, another reason why this field is great, because there's so much opportunity within it. So that's all on my LinkedIn if you want to check that out. I also am on Instagram, a.gar. Don't hesitate to reach out. If you're in the Baltimore area, there's a lot that I can show you. I can give you tours of our labs. Yeah, so don't hesitate to reach out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for allowing us to interview you. This is such a great and beneficial episode. To our listeners out there, if there are any other like careers that you're interested in that you want us to interview, please let us know. You can also shoot us an email at yawsynpodcast. So that's yawsynpodcast@gmail.com. That's all one word. You can also check us out on our social media platforms on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. But until then, we will see you in the next one. See you. Bye. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.